OO Portland, your community radio, which means it's your responsibility to keep it funded, keep it vital, keep it free, keep it fresh, keep it strong. 877-500-5266, kboo.fm/give, however you do it, and at whatever level, do it now. Many of our friends and neighbors are getting involved in their own way, at their own level, and we're going to hear about some of them in just a moment, and other stuff about the operations of your community radio, and after which we'll jump right into the digital divide. This month, Rabia Yemin brings us the Summer of Love Fest, featuring a recent interview from just last year in 2019 with Jorma Kaukonen of the Jefferson Airplane and Hot Tuna and several other outfits that brought us a lot of very, very interesting soundscapes, shall we say. So, let's get right to it.
Kibu would like to give a special thank you to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Fried Egg I'm in Love, located at 3549 Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard and in Pioneer Square at 780 Southwest Broadway. For more information, go to friedeggiminlove.com. Lunch was provided by Little River Cafe, located in downtown Portland at 315 Southwest Montgomery Street. Serving food made from fresh ingredients, Little River Cafe is open for breakfast and brunch daily from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Dinner was provided by Den Nicolas, located at 3520 Southeast Powell Boulevard. Den Nicolas is an authentic Italian restaurant and has been a Portland institution for over 40 years. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 1-877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm/give right now. Thank you very much.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
And welcome to the Digital Divide. And welcome. And we have an action-packed show for you today. First, we're going to be checking in with the folks behind Burning Cat. Burning Cat takes place at the up my headphones a little bit. The green. Thank you. Burning Cat describes itself as a tabletop carnival of oversized games, comics, and two-story cat monsters. And we have on the phone with us today Josh, Director of Marketing for Exploding Kittens. His job title is Dark Lord of Fun for Burning Cat. And Josh, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited about Burning Cat. That's going to occur at the Oregon Convention Center. Yep. Saturday, May 16th, starting at 10 a.m. and runs 2 days. And tell us about Burning Cat. It's a little play on Burning Man, I know, but tell our listeners what does that mean?
Absolutely, yeah. So everyone at Exploding Kittens has gone to many other conventions across this country and honestly internationally. We've had so much fun showing off our games, our human vending machine, other weird activations we put together. We really just wanted to create one big party where we can kind of host our own event. It's really just that card gaming, tabletop playing, pop culture event that we've always wanted to go to.
And so, some of the events or activities that are going to happen at Burning Cat will be the world's largest game of freeze tag. What?
Yep. Yeah, we're going to try to beat that record.
Now, what is freeze tag? How does freeze tag work?
So that's one that we're picking right up from the schoolyard playgrounds back from the OG days when we were all, you know, running around the playground. Freeze tag is there's someone who's it, you tag them, they have to stop moving, and the game is over when no one's moving.
So okay.
Currently, that record's held by 2,700 kids in Texas, and we can beat that. So that's just one of the crazy events that we're going to kind of
see, like 2,701 participants.
Exactly. And we're honestly, the Oregon Convention Center is a very large space. We have seen other conventions pack in, you know, 70,000-80,000 people. And when we kind of thought about that, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just kind of not how we like to throw a party. So we're limiting it to our 10,000 closest friends, that could be you, listeners. But really what we're trying to do is just have a big old party. And I think we can beat that 2,700 with you know, an additional 7,000, hopefully. But that said, that's just one of the crazy games. In the center of this entire Burning Cat event is going to be our arena. So our arena, it's a big 50-foot by 50-foot arena space. We have stadium seating all around it. You mentioned at the top, we have our two-story Trojan cat statue, I should say, that's going to have Exploding Kittens employees. And I don't know, maybe even some people who are listening now inside working it, and T-shirt cannons. They'll be able to pop out and scare people.
It's an interactive cat. And then there was something you had mentioned about lasers.
Yes. So not only do we have a 20-foot tall cat statue that at the end of each day is going to, and I'm using quotes here, burn more, you know, metaphorically and gastrointestinally. But at the end of each night, you'll see Cat Lisi in all of her glory, in
say it
with her giant laser nipples, and we're gonna have, you'll be able to provide an offering to our beautiful Cat Lisi, and she'll be presiding over the arena and chiming in here and there.
That's great. There's in the arena, one of the events is going to be a giant game of Exploding Kittens, the card games. And that was a game co-developed by a small group of people, including one of my favorite cartoonists in the universe, Matthew Inman, who is the creator of The Oatmeal. The Oatmeal is a cartoon, you know, just why your cat is trying to murder you. Different wonder, you know, the appropriate use of the apostrophe or the comma. I love Matthew's cartoons, and as a former web developer, I used to affectionately refer to my clients as my oatmeal. My friends know that about me, so I really like kind of am a big fan of Matt and Exploding Kittens. Now, other activities are, there's something called throw burrito dodgeball.
Yes. Oh man. Well, and really quick.
And it happens in a cage of something.
Yes. So, and really quick, just to hop back, the Exploding Kittens started back in 2015 when exactly that, Matt Inman of The Oatmeal, a web comic artist, met a game developer in Alan Lee, former chief design officer for Xbox. They got together, they put their heads together and made an incredible game. And honestly, that's the other purpose of Burning Cat. We're looking to connect more artists with other game designers. Hopefully we can spark another Exploding Kittens to happen. The tabletop industry is growing crazily. And to mention our newest game, Throw Burrito, it's a dodgeball card game that utilizes weaponized Mexican food to throw at your friends, frenemies. It's so nice to hit someone with that foam little burrito. And we're creating a big old cage to house those games, because they can get out of control if you get the right people in there.
Well, you want to get the right people in there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Well, we had to build the cage to contain them. Really, everyone who's ever played has been the right people.
Well, it really sounds fun and like a great activity. Children are welcome, although they do need to buy a ticket. Everyone mm-hmm. needs to get a ticket to join in. Again, that yeah. is going to be... Well, I just want to read this one thing. At the end of the convention, which would be Sunday night, it says, when the convention ends... she, being the 20-foot cat, does the 20-foot cat have a name, or is it just the cat?
Cat Lisi. We're calling her our beautiful Cat Lisi.
Cat Lisi.
And at the end of each night, yeah, she's going to have her own little burning cat ceremony.
I said so she'll erupt into a thousand light, the light of a thousand stars, and then she will implode into something terrible and wonderful. She will transform.
Metaphorically, gastrointestinally, and before your very eyes.
Oh, my God.
And like you were saying, you can grab tickets at burningcat.com. It's May 16th and 17th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So come out, come party with us, and meet the oatmeal, and play some just ridiculous games.
Cannot wait. Josh, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's just delightful, and I cannot wait until May to participate in Burning Cat and just... But put me in a cage and throw foam burritos at me.
Done. We'll see you there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to be, I think, doing a little pitch break here. We are in the middle of membership drive. We want to thank Michael from Portland for calling in. And you can be like Mike and call 877-500-5266. I am joined with Ray.
There we go. Ah, that's better. Now I can hear myself.
Was I even on the mic?
Yeah. So thank you for inviting me to join you, Robbie. This is a lot of fun. And, you know, as an admirer of your show and all the arts and culture programming here on KBOO, I'm pleased to sit in today. And pleased to ask our listeners to take this opportunity to show their support, their continued support for this kind of programming and so much of the variety of programming here on KBOO. By calling 877-500-5266. We're in the second day of our three-day Love Without Borders membership drive. It's Valentine's Day, a good day to show your community radio station some love.
That's right.
And if you do today, in fact, all 3 days of the drive, we have a beneficiary who's offered to match every dollar. So for any dollar a member commits, even if you're just upping your regular monthly membership by a dollar or two, that will be matched. So bear that in mind. We have operators, cheerful, friendly people standing by waiting to take your call.
One ringy ding.
Exactly. All kinds of marvelous KBOO swag, and it can all be yours. 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm.
That's right. And for a $60 membership, you can grab a pair of tickets to see Robin Jackson and the Caravan. That's February 29th, 9 p.m. at the Alberta Street Pub. It's 21 and over. Give a call, 877-500-5266. Pick up a pair of those tickets for your $60 membership. And like Ray said, show your love for our show. And speaking of love, coming up next... We're going to be airing an interview that I did last year with Jorma Kaukonen of the Jefferson Airplane and Hot Tuna. I'm so excited. We did an interview for our Woodstock Festival. Ray, you were there. And I'm sure
yes, I was.
You were right there. So I think you'll probably have a little nostalgia fest in between. So we're going to get started with that with a little intro. And of course, that is the instantly recognizable introduction to White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. And that is Jorma Kaukonen on the guitar. So I think, you know, you only need to hear maybe 4 seconds of that song to know what song it is. It's just so instantly recognizable. It's iconic. And today we're going to be listening to the full interview. It's about 20 minutes. We're going to be talking about Woodstock, the Fur Peace Ranch, where Jorma holds live concerts and workshops and guitar camps. And that's when he's not touring with David Cassidy and Hot Tuna. At 79 years young, Jorma is still rocking, learning, and writing, as we also touch on his recent memoir, Been So Long. So let's get started with that.
Jorma Kaukonen, Pomeroy, Ohio. Lay it on me.
Okay, you got it. And also, I've been reading the book, your book, Been So Long, My Life in Music, which is, it's wonderful. And I know it's all from your perspective and filters, but you do a really great job of taking the reader there into those times and places.
Oh,
and
thanks.
It's very intimate, and especially if you love guitars, then you're going to love this book.
Right, absolutely.
Let's just start with, I know you said it was just another gig, and I get that, but, and that's true, like on one level, and then on another level,
right. It
was really symbolic. There were multiple large events that occurred in 68 and 69, and Woodstock was one of them, and they seem to turn our world's access a little bit to the to the left. So what were your impressions?
Well, first of all, I need to qualify that just that it might have started out as just another gig, because when you look at your itinerary of things to do, you just go, oh yeah, I'm going to do the Atlantic City Pop Festival, and then I'm going to do Woodstock. Obviously, when all of us got there, and we all got there sort of in different ways at different times, it became immediately apparent that this was not just another gig. And how that happened, I guess lots of people write about it, and I guess their guess is as good as mine. Now me and my pals in the airplane, we were supposed to play Saturday night, and so we drove into Liberty, which is where the Holiday Inn was, where many of the musicians stayed on Friday. And at that time already, it was becoming apparent that something, that there was magic in the air, or whatever you want to, however you want to characterize what was happening at Woodstock. So we were supposed to play on Saturday, but we knew that we'd have to get there early. So we drove in the hang at the hotel was incredible, hanging out with a lot of musicians, meeting people that you wanted to meet, et cetera, et cetera. So we left very early, and we were still able to drive. We did not chopper into the festival. We actually drove our cars in from the hotel in Woodstock, and miraculously, we were able to get there. So we were there most of the day. And as things began to evolve in the course of that day, I mean, obviously when we first got there and we saw the mass of humanity, it became, as I said, immediately apparent that this was not just another gig, that something else was afoot, whatever that might have been. And of course, as everybody knows, because of a confluence of unpredictable events, I mean, you know, live music outdoors is unpredictable anyway, but all kinds of stuff happened at Woodstock, obviously, that probably wouldn't be permitted to happen today. Things began to be delayed, and this and that happened, and so, as everybody knows, instead of going on Saturday night, we went on Sunday morning. So our stay there really was from Saturday morning to Sunday morning, and right after we finished our performance, we all hopped in the cars and drove down to New York because we had to be on the Dick Cavett Show.
That must have been remarkable, transitioning from a long, extended, wakeful period at Woodstock to Dick Cavett.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's you know, when you look at it this many years after the fact, it's like, you can't make that stuff up, because things were going so fast for us in the airplane. We were, you know, we'd already been together for 4 years, but we were at the top of our game and all that kind of stuff. And so you almost take for granted sort of like monumental occurrences that in the normal world that most of us inhabit today, be like, wow, how could that have even happened? But at the time, it's just like, okay,
we just played the most amazing, you know, iconic festival perhaps ever, and now we're going to Manhattan to be on a TV show.
Were you mostly all of like minds of like, what the heck was that?
I think pretty much so. I mean, I'm certainly not qualified to speak for anybody else, but my recollection is, in those days, rock and roll bands didn't tour in tour buses as we do today. We can afford to do that. You know, life was good, don't get me wrong, but it was a little more eventful on some levels. Sometimes you never knew whether you're actually going to get to the next gig just because we're driving ourselves and doing all that kind of stuff. But you just learn to roll with the punches.
Before you guys went on stage and during your delay, and you no doubt around the other performers,
sure.
Who stands out in your mind, you know, that you maybe you were jamming with or that you connected with that you were really excited to see there?
Well, I think that there really wasn't any jamming going on because there wasn't any place for that. The backstage was minimalistic at best. But what I do remember was seeing Carlos Santana's performance, and I've talked about this in interviews, but I can't say this enough. It was one of the most momentous live performances I'd ever seen. Now, I'd met Carlos back in San Francisco, but I'd never heard that band. And so to see that band breaking out with those songs from that first album on that stage of Woodstock, I remember it like it was yesterday.
It's funny that you mentioned that because two of the other individuals who were participants who went, you know, to hear music, both have said that that Carlos Santana's set stood out for them as just being transcendent, that they were blown away. And one of them had never heard of him before and was like, oh my God,
right.
Who is this? What is happening? And we are back to you from Membership Central. I'm Rabia. I'm here with Ray.
Yes, and this is a good time to ask you to continue to support your community radio station.
Mm-hmm. It is a good time. 877-500-5266. And Ray, you were there. You saw that Santana performance at Woodstock.
I have to admit, I'm old enough. I was there. And yes, indeed, I did see that. And it was a spectacular performance. And I'm probably one of the many people in that crowd who didn't know who Santana was and was absolutely blown away by the performance and became a huge fan of the band. From then on, I followed them for years and saw them innumerable times in concert. They were just terrific.
Well, we're going to hear from Santana in our next segment of this interview, but we want you to give a call to 877-500-5266. And I don't know if we gave those tickets away yet, but we do have a pair of tickets for the Robin Jackson and the Caravan with the Colin Trio at Alberta Street Pub. That's February 29th, 9 p.m., Alberta Street Pub, 21 and over. And we have a pair of those tickets for a $60 membership, which Ray, you said would be matched.
Indeed, for the entire duration of this 3-day Love Beyond Borders Valentine's Day membership drive, we have a benefactor, if you will, someone who has committed it for
a Patreon.
Yes, indeed. For every dollar that's committed from a member, they will match it. So this is a chance to really show your support and make that support double and continue to encourage this kind of development of community radio to bring the wide variety of volunteer voices and volunteer programming that has made KBOO such an indelible part of the Portland landscape. I as a relative newcomer to Portland, less than 5 years now, I can tell you that living on the East Coast, there was no equivalent to KBOO. This is a unique institution, and it deserves the support, the continued support of the community.
It is indeed unique. Having the opportunity to create mostly unfettered on the air is so unusual and unique. Everyone on the air at KBOO is really volunteer. And if you visit or have visitors or guests, when we have visitors and guests from other community radio stations, they are always so surprised, and they're saying like, well, how do you get people to come here 24 hours a day? And I've always said we can't get rid of them.
And you're probably trying to get rid of me. But the funny thing is, and you raise a good point, it is volunteer driven. And, you know, when I first came to Portland, I saw the opportunity to volunteer here. And, you know, I never, other than having to turn the radio on, I didn't know anything about radio. So everything I've learned here, because KABU is so volunteer oriented and so much oriented towards training. So another reason to show your continued support and call 877-500-5266 and help us continue to bring this great locally produced programming to all of you.
Yeah, I think most people really never heard, unless if you weren't from San Francisco. You probably, unless you just heard that rumor, hey, this is this great young kid guitar player. And he was a great guitar player and still is. But, I mean, what he did, what came together in that band, we just had never heard music like that before. It transcended is a great word.
And we are back in Membership Central. I just wanted to include that, you know, when a musician that I consider to just be, you know, at the top of the musician
talent
list.
Yeah, that was an amazing clip.
And they say, you know, like, this musician blew me away, then yeah. I want to hear that. You know, did that... What did that ring memories back for you, Ray?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, probably like other attendees and non-attendees, I've watched the movie a couple of times, and the Santana sequence is still spectacular, still spellbinding. So, yeah, it brings it back.
That's so awesome. And I know that we have other listeners out there that also were at the original Woodstock. I interviewed some of you last year for my retrospective, including you, Ray. And it is so cool to hear all the stories, and so awesome to talk to Jorma. He's had a really interesting life. His autobiography, Been So Long, is really, really interesting. And it takes you back. It's very real. He doesn't really sugarcoat anything or romanticize. Mm-hmm. And one thing is clear. He loves his guitars. He's a guitar guy.
he is indeed a guitar guy. And, you know, as a longtime fan of the Airplane, because, you know, again, as a as we call him here in Portland, as an honored citizen, I'm old enough to have seen the Airplane at the Fillmore East in New York. I think it was the winter after Woodstock, and I was always a big fan, still a big fan, have followed Hot Tuna in acoustic and electric versions, and still one of my favorite guitar players. So great that you had him.
We are going to be hearing a little bit from Hot Tuna later in this interview, but right now we want to take time for you to call 877-500-5266, and we want to thank Amy in Vancouver, a San Francisco transplant.
Ah, another escapee.
And welcome to the Great Northwest, Amy, and welcome to KBOO. It's so nice to welcome you and have you listening on the air. And you can be like Amy. And what number would they call if they want to be like Amy?
Well, they would call 877-500-5266, or if you're not near a phone but you're near your computer, you can get to us online at kboo.fm. And the other thing I've been reminding people this morning is we're a welcoming environment here on 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, so feel free to stop in and visit in person. We'll show you around and show you where your membership dollars go to work, what they do for you. But whichever way you choose to do it, especially since we have the matching grant this 3-day drive, this
is 60 is like 120.
Yeah, this is a good time to show your support and contribute those few dollars to KBOO.
That's right. And for regular listeners of the Digital Divide, I just remind you that you hear stories and interviews and music that expands your mind, your perceptions, your musical geography. And that's why you know in your head and in your heart that your monetary subscription, your monthly membership in part, it's part of the symbiotic relationship between what comes out of the radio and directly into your ear holes, working its way down into your brain and your heart, and if you have one, your soul. So we've interviewed so many interesting people on this program. Bruce Chenier, a security expert and writer, science fiction author Cory Doctorow, Portland legend John Shirley. We've had Howard Bloom, Howard Rheingold, literally all the Howards, Professor Stuart Russell, Stephen Jacobs, George Dyson, Donald Hoffman on reality. Those are just some of the individuals that your membership helps go to bring on the air and out onto the airwaves. So 877-500-5266. That's the number to call right now to have your pledge matched. And there's so many different ways you can do it. You can do it with a $5, $7, $10 or more dollar a month membership that comes directly out of your bank account. And that
Your credit card.
Or credit card. And that is the seamless, painless way to do it. So easy. It takes about 2.5 minutes on the phone, 877-500-5266. A friendly and attractive volunteer will answer the phone and take your membership right now.
And, you know, I would also remind folks that even if you're already a monthly member, a monthly contributor, if you can add just $1 or $2 a month to that, increase your pledge, your monthly pledge by $1 or $2, those dollars add up so quickly. And, of course, once again, they're being doubled this drive. So it's so important for you now to show your support and make sure that KBOO continues to be a vibrant voice in your neighborhood. So give us a call. 877-500-5266, or again, you can do it online at kboo.fm.
You can do it online, you can do it in the road, you can call 877-500-5266. That's the number to become a member now. We're going to go back to our interview with Yorma. I'm so excited. He's going to be talking more about his guitars, about Hot Tuna, and about the Fur Peace Ranch. And you've referenced, without necessarily using the word, you know, like the serendipity that happens in one's life to, you know, bring together a confluence of events that are, you know, you didn't orchestrate it, they just happen. And that's a running theme through your life. I know you say, you know, that you've been, there's been a, like a tremendous amount of luck.
Of course.
Bringing things together. And your songwriting and the process of songwriting, have to write it down right away. You have to capture it before it's gone, because it'll just go.
That's right.
And I think, looking back, what part have epiphanies played in your songwriting process, in your music?
Well, I think that they're, you know, they're not always there, but they tend to be there for me. Now, I'm not, you know, when I talk about my songwriting, I'm not a tunesmith in that I crank songs out because that's what I do, because I don't. You know, over the years I've written a lot of songs, but I don't just crank them out. And I don't write for other people. You know, I write songs for myself. So the concept of an epiphany on any level, large or small, is really important to me. And as you mentioned earlier, it's so important to stay tuned into these things, because when they knock on your door, if you don't answer that door, by the time you get there, they're going to be gone, and they're not coming back, you know. So I try to stay aware of that kind of stuff. An epiphany can be good or it can be bad. I mean, you can have a bad experience, which on some level is an epiphany also. I think most people tend to think about epiphanies as always being positive, which I don't think is always the case. I mean, we remember the positive ones more, because that makes sense to do that. But in any case, so I guess on some level it's some sort of an event, whether it actually meets the criterion for being a quote unquote epiphany or not, is, for me, is certainly necessary to create a song.
But you know it when it comes. It, like, it's a different feeling that something's all of a sudden has focused your attention surprisingly, and it's like a
right.
It's like a flag that you pay attention to.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. It, you know, again, if you're paying attention, right? If you take the responsibility to pay attention and you answer the call.
You're still touring. I can't believe your schedule. It's whatever vitamins or supplements you're taking, I want those. Your schedule is amazing.
as our family doctor has told me on more than one occasion, Yorma, you owe your parents a debt of gratitude for your genetics, you know, because I just really come from a strong family. So I've been very fortunate, and at my age, I'm still extremely vital, and obviously I'm going to try to keep that going as long as possible. I'm going to be 79 this year.
And you are still rocking it.
and so far, so good.
I have heard you reference music as being the soundtrack of people's lives, and I think we all have that. We have music, certain songs that immediately plug us into some nostalgic event or a significant event in our lives. What music would you classify as being in your soundtrack of your life?
Good question. I guess I would have different categories of them, and And I think on some level, those kind of soundtracks that stay important in some way dovetail, I guess, with epiphanies, both great and small. So for me, one of the albums that comes to mind that, even though I haven't listened to it for a while, I can hear it in my mind, is Bob Dylan's Blonde on Blonde. I could go back further to stuff that I listened to, you know, like when I was in high school, stuff like that. But so much has changed. I mean, you know, like Buddy Holly was so important to me when I was a teenager, but I'm not a teenager anymore. So even though I recognize the massive genius about some of those songs, being able to relate to people of that age and that time, that doesn't touch me as much anymore. But, you know, you listen over the years. You know, for example, I think that my soundtrack is rotating at all times. And Gretchen Peters, who's a great songwriter out of Nashville, a great fan of hers, and she put out an album, I think, either last year or year before, called Dancing with the Beast, that sort of has become my current soundtrack, even like almost 2 years later. But it's always something, you know? That's like a good story.
One thing that you and I have shared in common is a deep love and respect and reverence for Otis Redding.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Sure. You met Otis Redding at the Monterey Pop Festival.
Correct, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, what happened was, you know, Otis had a whole show, and we heard the music and his tight arrangements and his delivery and all that stuff. I mean, it's still great this many years later, but at the time it was like, to me, it was like the next step after James Brown, because the music was more multidimensional, in my opinion, than the James Brown music was of that era. I mean, his ability to put on just a fantastic show, his voice, the dynamics, the tightness of the band. I mean, the Jefferson Airplane, we were a tight band also, but we weren't like that. You know, we didn't write arrangements, we didn't have horns, we didn't have all the stuff that needed to happen in order for our music to work. We sure loved Otis Redding, and just the excitement of his show, it's hard to really adequately describe it.
Some of those arrangements, you know, during that time period where people were bringing in horns, you know, into these kind of like cross genre music, you know,
right.
I would say Van Morrison too, you know, kind of that similar but different with the horn arrangements coming in and R&B. Otis was really unique and special for many reasons. His songwriting, he had a record production company. That was a unique situation for him to be in.
Oh, it's always a unique situation for that time. But I think it certainly reflected. I mean, he was obviously able to manifest his musical vision, you know. I think that Jimi Hendrix was able to do that also, because he did his own productions and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, Otis, in a time when not just the black artists, but artists in general, were not given any freedom to really create on their own. So yeah, that's special.
Yeah, he took it. No one will give it to you. You have to take it, right? Isn't that what they say?
That's right. Yeah, that's what they say.
And we are we're going to take your memberships.
That's right. This is the time. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. 877-500-5266. That's 877-500-KBOO. Or you can go to kboo.fm. But either way, this is a good time to show your support, good time to become a member or increase your membership, especially in view of the fact that for these 3 days of this Love Beyond Borders membership drive, we have matching donors for every dollar committed by members during these 3 days. So please, this is your chance to really show your support and really help out your community radio station. We look forward to your involvement. We look forward to your visiting us here at 20 Southeast 8th, and we look forward to your continuing commitment by showing the financial support necessary to keep that big antenna up on the hill powered.
That's right. we must keep the big antenna powered at all times. Hey, I got my cowbell.
Ah, good. So
I'm going to ring that for you people. 877-500-5266. I really love what you said earlier about if you already have a monthly membership, let's say you have $5 taken out a month, give a call to that number, 877-500-5266, and just tell them, hey, I'm already give a monthly donation, but I want to increase it by a dollar. And that, if 30 people do that, it really all adds up. As our good friend Justin used to say, many hands make light lifting. And that is so true when it comes to your membership. 877-500-5266. We're going to get back to our interview, but give us a call now. Be like Amy and Mike and call 877-500-5266. In your book, Been So Long, My Life in Music, the way you talk about your guitars, you clearly just love them as an instrument.
Sure.
So talk a little bit about that first guitar and how it, you know, like some people escape in books and some people escape in, right. You know, it used different devices. And for you, it was really that guitar. You made a whole life from that guitar.
Absolutely. Well, the J45 was my first guitar. And I foolishly let go of it in 1960. But shortly thereafter, I bought a J50 in Dayton, Ohio. And that guitar, I mean, certainly the gateway to the guitar for me was that J45. So when I decided to get back into acoustic guitar, because I'd played electric with the little band with Jack for a while, and actually learned how to finger pick, and I lucked into that J50. That J50, it was a 1958 that I bought new in early 1960 from Pop's Music Store in Dayton, Ohio, and I still have that guitar. That guitar is the story of my musical life for decades. That's the guitar that I learned to finger pick on. That's the guitar that I played Embryonic Journey on Surrealistic Pillow. That's the guitar that the first Hot Tuna records, acoustic records, were done with. That's a guitar that was the basis of everything I did in the studio for years.
You and Jack continue to tour and play all over, and
we do.
It's the most remarkable relationship.
Well, we've been buddies forever, and it is. I guess it's remarkable in that A, we both lived so long, and B, we still genuinely like each other. You know, I mean, if Jack was part of this interview that we're doing, you would find him to be a very different person than I am, and he is. But always respected each other. We've never had an argument that I can remember. I'd have to fact check with him on that, but I don't ever remember having an argument. We've never had a band meeting. We just have always functioned really well together, and we still do.
That's just an amazing and rare collaboration that doesn't happen that often among musicians or artists in general.
Or even people in general. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, in terms of, you know, quote unquote, what we do as a career, that's amazing. But yeah. I mean, even just think about, just being friends with anybody that much, it's amazing.
It is. It's really dear and precious. Tell us what you're working on right now. It is July 22nd, 2019. I know you're going to be touring. You're going to be on the West Coast with us in September. And so what's happening next in your immediate?
Jack and I, if I can pry him away from Los Angeles long enough to come visit me, and I think I can, I think we're going to sit down and see if we can do some writing. We don't have any recording plans in the immediate future, but we owe Red House one more record, and this time we've decided we're actually going to be prepared before we go in. Sometimes we write stuff in the studio. I don't want to do that this time. So over the next couple months, we hope to be getting some writing done. But we have a really busy touring schedule coming up. We're excited about that. Most of the gigs are going to be electric, although we have some acoustic ones too. And, you know, honestly, for guys of any age, regardless of guys like us, you know, to be able to do what we do on the level that we do it is just an amazing blessing.
What's going on at Fur Peace Ranch these days?
Past weekend, we just had our Arts and Minds Festival, sort of a craft fair. We're not doing any teaching for the next couple of weeks. We're just doing some work around the premises, and then we'll open back up again. We've got I'll be back here to do Couples Weekend and another of the other things that I'm involved in. We're about getting ready to close out our 22nd year. The Fur Peace Ranch is alive and well, and we're really having a great time.
On aging.
Oh, yeah.
So I know for myself, as I get older, the time becomes the most valuable commodity, more than money or snacks or potato chips. It's all about time. So what's your perspective on aging and using your time?
Well, you know, life's like a roll of toilet paper. The closer the end you get, the faster it seems to go. And in a normal world, I'd be a great grandfather, but in this one, I have a 22-year-old son and a 13-year-old daughter. So, you know, my daughter's going to be in high school next year. We homeschooled her for a couple of years, and she's ahead of where she should be. I mean, that's really a yardstick of how quickly time passes, because it seems like only yesterday she was in preschool, you know. My son is actually self-supporting. How can that happen, you know? I mean, that just seems to be the way of things. The good news for me is, because I'm so connected to people that are a lot younger than me, is it keeps me from getting lazy. It keeps me from taking that time thing for granted. I just try to be involved with not just my family, but with everything I do as passionately as possible, so that I just don't miss a minute.
And we are just going to take a real quick break. See if there is another track up there. Okay, we're just going to pitch to the top then. And the number is 877-500-5266. Hey, we have somebody else to thank.
We do indeed. We have Carrie and Leek Oswego. Thank you so much for the call, Carrie. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate everybody who's called so far during this drive. Your support for your community radio station is so important to the digital divide and all of the locally produced programming. So again, the number is 877-500-5266. And I have to say, listening to, you know, 79-year-old Jorma Kaukonen talk about his, you know, his commitment to music, I don't think we all fully understand just how committed and involved he is. The Fur Peace Ranch has been going for over 20 years. He has been doing instructional videos on homespun tapes. I learned to play Embryonic Journey by watching him over and over and over and over and over again. So this is a guy who has lived his art for 20 years, and it's so great that you got the opportunity to interview him in depth like that.
Thank you.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, just as a fan and as a member of KBOO. So, you know, other members, please take this opportunity and show your support. You don't get this kind of really detailed interviewing, these kind of first-person accounts, just anywhere. You get them here at KBOO. So please call us at 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button. But however you choose to do it, this is a great time because we're in the middle of this short three-day Beyond Love Beyond Borders membership drive, and for all 3 days we have a benefactor who's doubling the donation. So please take that opportunity and call now.
That is so meaningful to us. 877-500-5266. Be like Carrie, Amy, and Michael and call that number now and make a pledge of $5, $7, $10 a month. It's so easy when you sign up for an EFT. It comes directly out of your checking account. And honestly, a $5 a month membership is less than two fancy pants cups of coffee. So most people can manage that. And if you listen to KBOO and you drive benefit, and thank you so much for the kind words, Ray. I have to say that last year I took it upon myself. It was the 50th anniversary of Woodstock, and I wanted to start documenting the voices of people that were there, as I interviewed you, Ray, about your experience and a number of other just participants, people who found themselves at Woodstock. And then I had, I want to give a big shout out to my good friend Phil G for hooking me up with contacts for Yorma and Country Joe, who I was able to interview as well. And I had to edit those down for a short retrospective last year, put up by Jeff Rosenberg, which was an amazing special where I was listening to that Woodstock special all day and found myself in tears, even though I wasn't even there. But some of those songs were so nostalgic for me as well. And I hope to later this year play a full retrospective of all the interviews in their entirety that I did, because with the exception of one person I know whose uncle was playing that first day, what was his name? Was it Herb Sumner? Something Sumner.
Oh, Bert Sumner.
Bert Sumner,
well,
yes.
Yeah, Bert Sumner.
So I know his nephew, Bob. Bob Zilla from BMIR and Burning Man and Shouting Fire, as a matter of fact. Most people who were at Woodstock are in their 60s, 70s, or 80s. And I don't want those stories to just go away. I wanted to capture those stories, and I hope to capture some more as well, because those whole years, 68 and 69, were very transformative to our culture. And I'm hoping for another one of those anytime now.
Any day now, we need that, don't we?
That we do need that. And you know what? When you are a member and you help subsidize this radio station, it's really a direct symbiotic relationship. You donate and we send, we put music that comes out of the hole into your ears and provides a venue, a unique venue for unique individual programming that truly is different from what you might hear anywhere else.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the historical perspective is important. The fact that you reached out to these artists and managed to capture in detail their thoughts is one of the things that's special about KBOO. I mean, we're talking about volunteer-driven community radio. And so we're coming up to the top of the hour. I'll cut this short, but I'm going to finally ask one more time. Please give us a call, kboo.fm, or go online to kboo.fm, or call us at 877-500-5266 and help us meet our goals and help us by matching the doubling the match.
And coming up, Don Jacobson, more music.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Hood River and the Gorge at 91.9 FM, Philomath and Corvallis at 104.3 FM, and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose. No good to nobody, no good for nothing. because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that. Songs that run you down or songs that poke fun at you on account of your bad luck or your hard traveling. I am out to fight those kind of songs to my very last breath of air and my last drop of blood. I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down and rolled over you, no matter what.